Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're in the Sound Museum on Joy 94.9, and we're very pleased to have on the phone from the UK, Ollie Muirs. Ollie, welcome to Joy.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're good, thank you. Now, we, of course, are on the other side of the world, way over here in Australia, and your music has been played on the other side of the world. Now, a couple of years ago, did you ever imagine that was going to be the case?
Not at all. I remember travelling through Australia and New Zealand and et cetera. And just the fact that it's been played over that side of the world is incredible. It really is. And it blows my mind, if I'm honest. You know, it really does. And I'm very proud that you guys are playing it. It really makes me happy. And I really hope that you guys are enjoying the music.
Well, you've said your single Please Don't Let Me Go is sort of one of those summer breezy pop songs that is designed for people driving around with their windows down and blasting out of the car. And, of course, we can do that at the moment because it's the middle of summer over here, but it's probably not ideal in the UK to be doing that at the moment.
No, not over here, no. It's about 2 degrees, I think, at the moment. I just went for a run this evening because, obviously, over here at the moment it's about 10 o'clock at night. So I've just gone for a nice run, and it's freezing out there. So, yeah, no playing the songs with the convertible tonight.
Fair enough. Now, let's talk about your single, Please Don't Let Me Know, because it was your first single. It's been a big hit in the UK, but it was written with a number of quite famous songwriters, as with other tracks from the album. Did you feel any pressure where suddenly you've got these big names that you're working with and you're sort of thinking, oh, I hope I don't say anything silly or suggest something a little bit strange?
Do you know what? I thought that before I went into the writing sessions with them, I did feel that. But then when I kind of sat down with them and we sort of started chatting about ideas, and they literally just said to me, you know, when you're in a writing session and you're being creative, you know, nothing's wrong. So really just a case of saying how you feel, and that could, you know, it's not, you know, probably 50-60% of the time it's probably wrong, but there might just be that one moment that you say something or you do something that becomes part of the song and makes it what it is. So that's kind of how I got used to it in the end, and they are just great guys. They're really creative and fantastic, and I had the most amazing experience.
And I guess you get to learn a heap of stuff from them as well.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you get to learn so much of these guys. I mean, there's a lot of fantastic writers on the album that I worked with, and they've all worked in different sort of genres of music and different people, and it really was fantastic. I enjoyed every single minute of it, and, you know, I'm looking forward to working with them in the future.
Now, let's go sort of back a couple of years and go back to X Factor. Some people say that it is a good way into the music industry. Some people say it's an easy way into the music industry. Some artists criticise it. Some people say you should sort of go through the whole hard slog as well. What's your grounding on X Factor? Because obviously it was the start that propelled you into stardom. But are you still proud of the X Factor thing, or are you trying to move away from the X Factor thing? Or what's sort of your whole take on that now, looking back?
I mean, I've never been, you know, I loved the X Factor all my heart, you know, to be part of it, you know, The X Factor, I think, is one of the most incredible shows across the world. You know, I know there's the likes of Pop Idol as well, and there's some amazing shows, the Australian Idol and things like that. I think that what it is what's so great about the show is it really does give people a chance, you know, people that maybe have tried to get in the industry. I mean, I never did, but there's people that over here have tried to get in the industry. And it's been, for example, this year there was a lady on the X Factor that was, you know, was 50-odd years of age, worked in a supermarket, and then, you know, she's propelled then straight onto national TV. And I think these people have been given a chance. And it's someone like me, you know, I was 25, I was singing in pubs or on a guitar, you know, and didn't know where to go, didn't know who to speak to, didn't know who to send music to. I didn't really know any of that kind of industry. So I think the X Factor just gives you that massive platform. And, you know, the X Factor isn't an easy process. It's a really, really hard process. And, yeah, it does catapult you into stardom quite quickly, but you know, it can also drop you out of the industry quite quickly as well. So, you know, it does have its positives and does have its negatives, like everything really. So, but I mean, I love being part of the X Factor. It's been the most, it's incredible thing in my life, and I love every minute of it.
Because, of course, it does put you under a lot of pressure because, like you say, you started out singing in pubs where you may have been singing for a couple of hundred people and all of a sudden you're on television in front of 18 million that are watching X Factor, given that the show's so huge over there. Is that, you know, you wouldn't want to be too nervous, would you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was nervous every week. I probably didn't show it on the X Factor. I was so nervous. I mean, it was just one of the most, it was the most grueling, you know, it really was really hard. The audition process for the X Factor is extraordinary, you know, it really does test you, and you know, when you do your first audition, especially, you know, we walked out, and, you know, I mean, I've only ever sung in front of, what, a couple of, you know, probably 80 or 90 people in a pub in Essex, you know, and all of a sudden, I'm standing there in front of, I think it was 2,500 people for my first audition in front of the judges, sung Superstition, and it was just the most amazing experience, but it was so bizarre, because, I was, you know, I've never sung in front of that many people, you just have to go for it, really.
And of course, being on a show like that, it's half a sort of, I guess, about the image as well. Whereas whether you're sort of singing down at the local pub, I guess you can just put your jeans and your T-shirt on. But the X Factor thing is all about the image and how you portray yourself as well. So I guess that was kind of new.
Yeah, well not really. I mean, I was quite lucky, really. When I spoke to the show, and they were very adamant I could pretty much wear what I wanted, and I could actually say what I wanted to wear. And there was no real, like, you have to wear this, you have to wear that. And I had quite a big say in what I chose to wear, because I've kind of got my own little style, which I kind of like to keep. And lucky enough, the X Factor gave me the chance to be who I wanted to be, which was great.
Because you do look like the sort of guy that would rather have a few pints down at the local pub than get all dolled up for a photo shoot.
No, completely. Yeah, you're completely right. I'd rather do that than anything else. You know, I prefer to see my mates. I mean, you know, if any chance I get, I jump out of London and get out of the sort of industry scene and head back to my local town of Essex and go out with my mates for a drink. You know, it's more me to do that than being, you know, these sort of swanky, sort of stylish places. It's not really my cup of tea. So I prefer to sort of get out of London and hang out with my mates.
Now, finally about X Factor, your mentor was Simon Cowell. What advice did he give you about the music industry?
And Simon Cowell is, you know, I think that with anything really, I think that Simon Cowell can only give you so much advice, but you kind of, with everything you do, you can only be told so much, but you have to actually get on with it yourself, and you have to learn by your mistakes. And I think, you know, Simon didn't get to where he got to without making a few mistakes along the way, and you have to just kind of get on with it yourself, and that's kind of what I've done, really. You know, he's always there for me if I need him or a phone call, but he's kind of, you know, he's given me this amazing chance and amazing platform, and, you know, the fact that I'm still signed with Simon as well, and, you know, the fact that I'm still working with him is great. And but, you know, he leaves me to sort of learn the industry by myself, and of course he guidelines me in certain aspects, but the majority of it, I do go, you know, my own path, really. Thinking of Me was actually a track that we was thinking about being a sort of summer single, really, over here in the UK, but we decided that it could possibly be a better second single. And really, the sort of thought behind it was actually being a little bit cheeky, because you get kind of songs where you always say, you know, the guy would sing going, "I'm thinking of you, you know, I'm somewhere thinking of you," mm-hmm. You know. But actually, I kind of tried to twist it a little bit and say, like, you know, because us guys, we do, you know, reminisce about our old partners, and we do think, oh, you know, actually, I hope that she's somewhere thinking of me, because, you know, at the moment, I'm sort of reminiscing on her. And that's kind of the way around it, really, that, you know, I was thinking about memories I had with ex-girlfriends or partners, and I was just hoping that she was somewhere thinking of me instead of me thinking of you, basically.
Now, it's got a very interesting video clip, that song, and I presume it's just trick photography and you don't actually have that good a balance?
No, well, actually, I'll tell you what, the best thing to do is, everyone who says this to me about the video, thinking of me, if you go on to the behind the scenes, you can actually see exactly what actually happened, because we did it all, it was all on a live set. I did all the railing walks, but basically I had to wear a rope, like a harness, mm-hmm. from my chest, and it was coming out the back of me. And then, amazingly, obviously, technology these days, that they can airbrush all the wires out. But I was doing all the stunts myself, and they were just, these four guys were holding me by a rope. But when I was on the bridge, I was thinking, oh no, what's going to happen if they drop me here, you know? but yeah, I always tell people, if you watch behind the scenes, I did do all the stunts myself, and it was good fun.
Well done. Now, both these tracks are from your debut album. What was the agenda behind the album? Was there a certain sound that you wanted to sort of try and create, and what sort of process went behind recording the album?
Do you know what? We wrote with some amazing people, like we spoke about earlier, and I managed to kind of, we did a little bit of reggae, obviously, sound, a little bit of sort of my own sort of feel to it. But you know what? When we put the 40, I think we wrote about 40-odd tracks, and when we sat around and listened to them all, you know, they were the 12 tracks that we felt were the strongest. and I was happy to go with a bit of mix on the album because I think it's important for an artist to have your own sort of style, but to be able to delve into different things and different sounds and show people that you can, you're not just a one-trick pony and you can only do that sort of music, because I think some artists can only really do that sort of style and they get kind of, they're trying to do something else and it doesn't quite work. So I kind of wanted the album to have a little bit of versatility to it. So the album has got different sort of tracks and styles on it, which I really liked. And that, you know, the reggae sound is kind of me, and then I kind of made, you know, Change Is Going to Come is the first track, which is kind of rocky, which has got a bit of a, you know, that sort of feel to it. I've got Jason Mraz kind of feel track called Busy Doing Nothing. I've got, you know, some big ballads on there which were different to what the album. And it's just kind of a bit of a mix, which I really like.
Now, it sold almost 500,000 copies in the UK, so you must be pretty pleased with the success.
Oh, it's been amazing. You know, to go platinum, we was platinum in, within 3 weeks, and it was the biggest selling album by a newcomer this year in the UK, which was an incredible feat for me. I can't believe it, really, to be honest. But it's just really, really great that it's going well over here. And, you know, I just can't believe that, you know, it's going to be released on the other side of the world where you guys are. It's amazing, really. But, yeah, no, I was really shocked. I was completely shocked that, you know, it sold that many. You know, you kind of don't expect, you know, I've got some fantastic fan base over here. But I went, like you said, we was chatting earlier, when you come from the X Factor, it's, you know, you're sort of popular on the TV show, but when you finish the TV show, you know, are the fans going to stick by you? And they did over here, and they've been, you know, buying my records, and it's all going really, really well for me, and hopefully that will continue.
Now, the song has also been a reasonably big hit in New Zealand, where X Factor is not even shown. So have you got plans to come back to both Australia and New Zealand? I know you've been to Australia before, but come back and do some promotion or some travelling?
Definitely, without a doubt. I mean, it was actually my plan, hoping that, you know, actually, funny enough, I didn't want you guys to play my music so I could actually go over there for a holiday again and travel, because I think the country is absolutely amazing over there. But of course, now that, you know, with the songs playing over there, it just gives me even more incentive to come over there now, which is just, can't believe it. You know, Australia is just the most amazing country, and I had, you know, I had three to four months over there travelling, and I had the most amazing time. I travelled up the East Coast and saw some amazing places, and I just can't believe that you guys are playing music, so I can't wait to come back over there and perform, and hopefully we get some different things come up, and of course I can't wait.
Well, fantastic, we'd certainly love to see you. Finally, your next big night out, I guess, is going to be the Brit Awards, because you've been nominated for Single of the Year. How does that feel?
Again, I know, it's been an incredible 18 months for me, you know, from the X Factor to get a number one record in England, and you know, the album going platinum, and then I came back from holiday this year and got a phone call saying I got nominated for the best single of 2010 at the Brit Awards. So it's incredible, it really is. I mean, the Please Don't Let Me Go to be nominated in that category, I mean, there's sort of 9 other songs that I'm up against, and so just to be involved in that, and again, I'm just very much looking forward to it. And you know, I probably haven't got a chance of winning, but, you know, I'm going to go and have a great night and have a few drinks and have some fun and have a really good night at the Brits. And who knows, you know, you never know, I might come out victorious, but it's going to be a great, great night.
Have you got a date?
I'm taking a date. Probably not. I don't know who to take. I'll probably be taking my management team. But, no, I haven't got a date. I'm a single guy, so I haven't got any females to take with me. So
I bet you've got a lot of offers.
Maybe a few, but to be honest, I probably will go on at the moment. I haven't got anyone, you see, to take, but, you know, I think my mum would be annoyed if I didn't take her, so I'll probably take my mum with me.
Well done. Look, Ollie, thanks very much for talking to us.
No, thank you guys very much, and like I said, I really look forward to coming over to see you guys, and I just want to say thank you guys so much for playing my records. I really, really appreciate it, and I look forward to coming over.
Well, they're great records, and we look forward to having you. You will have to pop into the studio when you come over, but all the best for...
Definitely.
All the best for the next single releases and for the worldwide release of the album, and, of course, for the Brit Awards. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you guys so much. Cheers, John. I really, really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Cheers, Ollie. Have a good day. See you, mate.
You too. Take care.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.